Please turn in your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and we will be reading verse 24 through chapter 2 and verse 5. Now, before we do that, let me speak briefly of what has happened previously in this letter up to this point. Previously, in this letter to the church in Colossae, Paul has expounded upon the glory of Christ as Creator and as Redeemer. He's spoken of the fact that there was an old creation, and now there is a new creation, that you were alienated from God, but now you are reconciled in Christ. And this message of Christ in His glory and in His work comes through the ministry of the Word. It's this ministry of the Word that Paul goes on to speak about here in our passage this evening. And specifically, he speaks of his ministry to the saints in Colossae. And it's this gospel ministry that we will focus our attention on this evening as we come to consider this text. So hear now the word of our Lord from Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all energy that he powerfully works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments, for though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Thus far the reading of God's word, let us ask his blessing upon it. Heavenly Father God, we do ask that you would add a blessing to the reading of your word. And now, Lord, as we come to the preaching of your word, we ask that you would add a blessing to that. Let this word speak to our hearts, that we may appreciate this gospel ministry that has both transformed us and has called us to a renewed action in life. Let us appreciate the labors of those who toil for this gospel ministry. Lord, we ask that you would use this to work in us, to conform us more and more into the image of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. So here in this latter part of chapter 1, Paul begins to explain his job as a minister of the gospel. He begins to describe his job in very much the same way that a doctor describes an operation to a patient. Now, I've had several surgeries in my life, and before each one, the doctor sat me down and explained to me the purpose of the operation, what it was intended to do. And he explained to me the product of the operation, what the expected results were going to be. And he used simple terms to explain very complex procedures, all with the intent of guiding me through an understanding of what was going to happen and to persuade me that these operations were needed. And this is very similar to how Paul is describing his ministry to the Colossians here in this passage. He's explaining the purpose of his ministry and the product of his ministry in order to persuade them to receive his ministry, to persuade them that gospel ministry is needed. And one thing that I want us to leave here seeing is how similar Paul's ministry is to the ministry of your elders here at Grace Gibsonia. Paul's ministry is the same ministry as those here today. So as we look here in our passage at the description of gospel ministry, we're going to see two things. We're going to see the purpose of gospel ministry and the product of gospel ministry. And in doing this, I pray that we see the hearts of our ministers, our elders here in this place, as they seek to live faithfully to their calling in gospel ministry. And there are going to be points where I speak directly to the elders here. And there are going to be points where I speak directly to the congregation. But all of this, whether directed towards the elders or directed towards the congregants, is intended for your edification, for our edification, as we seek to build one another up in this gospel ministry. So Paul begins this section in somewhat of a peculiar way. He says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church." And we don't think of joy and sufferings together very often. But Paul rejoices in his sufferings. And no, that doesn't mean that he enjoys the pain that comes with it or anything like that. No, he rejoices even in the midst of his sufferings. And Paul truly has experienced sufferings in his ministry. He had enemies that were out against him. He was imprisoned for the gospel. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. In so many different ways, Paul suffered for his ministry. But Paul rejoices in those sufferings because he sees their significance. He suffers for the sake of the body. He suffers for the covenant community, which is the church. And Paul uses this somewhat strange phrase in reference to his suffering, saying, I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Now, does Paul mean that somehow there's a deficiency in the sufferings of Christ, and so he has to fill up where Christ was really missing some pieces? Well, of course not. Christ's suffering death fully purchased all that it was intended to, but because of Paul's union with Christ, he recognizes that there has not yet been filled up in him a full fellowship and communion with the sufferings of Christ. He knew that he has not fully suffered as Christ has suffered. He knew that sufferings would go on in his life and go on in the church until finally, at the end of the age, there is no more suffering. And so Paul rejoices in his sufferings in this ministry because he knows that it will bear fruit in the advancement of the gospel and the proclamation of the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, your pastor, your elders here, they may never have people seeking to kill them. They may never be imprisoned for the gospel. They may never be stoned. They may never be shipwrecked in an attempt to bring the gospel to the people. But I can assure you that they do suffer for the sake of this body. Every visitation that they have to go on takes them away from their families. Every sermon that is written takes days of study and preparation and writing. Every discipline issue comes through grief and tears. Every funeral causes them to weep over the loss of a dear fellow saint. Days have to be taken off of work in order to go to presbytery and to synod. Sleepless nights are had because of the stresses of the ministry. Brothers and sisters, your elders may not suffer like Paul did, but I can assure you that they do suffer for this body. And they, like Paul, rejoice in their suffering. Because they know that it will bear fruit in the advancement of the gospel and the proclamation of the kingdom of God here in this place. It's worth it. Elders, the suffering is worth it. Gospel ministry makes suffering worth it. And Paul doesn't just suffer for suffering's sake. He suffers because the gospel will go forth. And that's the purpose of gospel ministry. So let's look at this as it's played out in the ministry of Paul. We're going to read verses 24 to 29 once again. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. Now, very quickly, before we get to the purpose of gospel ministry, I want us to see what gospel ministry is, and particularly that gospel ministry is a gift from God. Paul says, I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you. Now, a stewardship is when something is given to you and you are expected to take great care of it. This gospel ministry is a gift that has been given to you, pastors and elders. It's a gift. So you have to understand that your service here in the church was not necessarily your idea, but ultimately it was God's. God ordained for you to be in this place and to receive this gift of gospel ministry. And your ministry is from God. And that ought to give you boldness and confidence and willingness in your service to Him. But the emphasis of that line isn't necessarily on the stewardship of the ministry, but on the receivers of the ministry. I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you. Paul's telling the Colossian believers that he has been given this gift of gospel ministry from God for them. To serve them, to minister to them. And this is the case with the elders here as well. You elders, you've been given this gift of gospel ministry to serve Grace Reformed Presbyterian Church. You're not elders at North Hills. You're not elders at Covenant Fellowship. No, God has given you the stewardship of ministering right here in Gibsonia. Now, yes, you do serve the larger body of Christ's church through Presbytery and Synod, but the emphasis of your ministry is right here in these chairs. And congregation, these men have given their lives to this. They have given their lives to serving you, to ministering to you. You receive the divine gospel ministry of the men that the Lord has placed over you. Receive it. Don't take it for granted. Love the men who have dedicated their lives to loving you. So with that being said, what is the purpose of gospel ministry? Paul says, to make the word of God fully known. That is the purpose of gospel ministry. Everyone who ever takes up the task of gospel ministry has this as the purpose for their ministry. This was Paul's purpose for his ministry in Colossae. This purpose is the same thing that he tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, to preach the word. The Word of God has supremacy in the ministry. In fact, we often refer to gospel ministry as the ministry of the Word. And that's because making the Word of God more fully known is the purpose of gospel ministry. This gospel ministry is the ministry of the proclamation of the mystery of God. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to His saints. And what is this mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. The purpose of gospel ministry is the proclamation of Christ. It's the teaching of our union with Him, Christ in you. The purpose of gospel ministry is everything that Paul has already written so far in this letter, but particularly the supremacy and glory of Christ. This is what is meant by making the Word of God fully known, to proclaim the supremacy and glory of Christ. And Paul goes on to explain, Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. So here we see how the purpose of gospel ministry plays out. We've seen that the purpose is to make the Word of God fully known, and that is done by proclaiming Him, by proclaiming Christ. And this proclamation of Christ has two functions as well as a primary purpose. The first function of proclaiming Christ is to warn everyone. And the Word of God does this over and over. It's a warning of the wrath to come. It's a warning of the destruction of God's enemies. It's a warning against falling away from the faith. It's a warning against vain worldly philosophies. It's a warning against false teachers who seek to draw you away. As we come to the table today to receive communion, you'll hear one of those warnings. And that's what Scripture does. It warns you. Repent or perish. Do not eat in an unworthy manner, lest you be condemned. The Word of God warns. But the Word of God, the proclamation of the Word, does not just warn everyone, it also teaches everyone in all wisdom. And that's the second function, is that the Word of God teaches everyone in all wisdom. The Word of God is the only infallible rule for faith and life. It teaches us everything that we need to know about salvation and how we are to live in light of it. In this teaching of the Word, it is teaching in all wisdom, because the Word of God is the very wisdom of God. No wiser words are there than the Scripture itself. And this proclamation of Christ, this warning and this teaching, it's for a purpose, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. That's what every pastor, what every elder longs for in gospel ministry. The purpose of gospel ministry is making the Word of God fully known in order that you may be presented as mature in Christ. It's for your sanctification. It's for your growing in holiness. And that's why you have to be dedicated to sitting under the proclamation of the Word. Because the Lord uses the Word of God as an ordinary way in which He makes you mature. And this is what your elders here are working towards. This is what Paul was working towards in Colossae, for this I toil, struggling with all His energy that He powerfully works within me. Elders, this proclamation of the Word, this gospel ministry, this hope of presenting those who are under your spiritual care as mature in Christ. It's work. It is a toil. It is a struggle. But it's the Lord who strengthens you and empowers you to do the job that He has called you to do. Proclaim the Word. Proclaim Christ. Make the Word of God more fully known in order to present us mature in Christ. This is the purpose of gospel ministry. Paul goes on now to speak of the product of gospel ministry. Look with me at chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Paul begins this section in a very similar way as in the other by stating his suffering, his struggle that he has for those in Colossae and in Laodicea and in other places. And in speaking of this struggle, you can really hear the love that the Apostle Paul has for these saints. But he quickly leaves talk of his struggle and he shifts into the hope that he has for them. And this is the product of gospel ministry, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So briefly, let us look at these three things that are Paul's hope to be the product of his ministry. First, that their hearts may be encouraged. Now you may be aware that this book was written at a time when persecution was taking place within the first century church. Though persecution wasn't as great here in Colossae as it was in other places, there was still persecution. But not only that, there was also the temptation to leave the Christian life and to go back to Judaism or to paganism. And Paul addresses this later in this letter. This is a real temptation for the saints here. But then there's also just that general discouragement that we all face in this life. No one's immune to it. Paul is saying that he hopes that this gospel ministry will be a source of encouragement to the people. Brothers and sisters, are you discouraged because of the circumstances of life? Are you tempted to leave the Christian life to go back to your old ways of sin? Hear the encouragement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Know that Christ is with you because you are united to Him. The Word of God is given to you as a comfort. Take hold of it. Hold fast to this gospel ministry. Be encouraged by it." I pray that gospel ministry encourages your hearts even in the midst of the darkest days. And the second in this list is that they are being knit together in love. We don't talk like this anymore. We don't say that we are being knit together in love anymore. What does it mean to be knit together in love? Some of you here may actually be knitters, and you know what that means. You're taking multiple strands and forming it into one magnificent, beautiful piece. And that's what is being spoken of here. Being knit together means being made one. And this is the reality of what the gospel does. In Christ, we are all united to one another. We are being knit together. And Paul's hope is that in his ministry that the people are being knit together in love. Now those two words there at the end are key to this concept. We're told in John 13:35, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." The product of gospel ministry is that we will be united with one another, showing love for one another. I know not everyone here has the same views as everyone else on everything. Sometimes we have disagreements. But in those disagreements, we must have love for one another. And it's the gospel ministry. It's the Word of God made fully known, which shows us how we can have love for one another. May we be a people who are knit together in love. And the final product that Paul lists here is to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this is the big one. This is the one that, if it's fulfilled, will lead to the goal of gospel ministry in presenting you as mature before God. The product of gospel ministry is that you would plunge into the depths of the riches of God. That you would have full assurance of understanding. That you would have knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. And that you would lay claim to all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge which are hid in Christ. There's a vast sea of wisdom and knowledge, riches and treasure, which can never be exhausted, that is found in the Word of God. And you are to take hold of it. So as you sit under the ministry of the Word, as you hear the Word of God preached to you, as you partake of the sacraments, as we will do later this evening, as you're being shepherded by your elders, don't just sit there and think that you know what's happening and you can just go through the motions. You have to be active in receiving gospel ministry. Plunge into the depths of the gospel that is given to you. The body broken for you, the blood shed for you. Dive into the depths of the riches of what that means for you. Experience Christ in a whole new way each and every time you receive the ministry of the Word. This is my prayer in my own personal life, that I would never grow stagnant or stale. Let it be your prayer also. Let the word come to you afresh every time. Because this is the product of gospel ministry, that you plunge into the depths of God and what He has revealed to you in His word. Let it be true of you, so that in the end, you may be presented mature in Christ. And then Paul ends this section with a piece of assurance for the believers in Colossae. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in the body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order in the firmness of your faith in Christ. These things that Paul is teaching the Colossians here, he's not just saying them. He believes them. He knows that everything that he has just said to them is true, because he understands the purpose of gospel ministry and he understands the product of gospel ministry. And he's telling the Colossians these things so that they can see it too, so that they can have confidence in gospel ministry. And so that's why these things are proclaimed to you today, so that these things can be true of you as well, so that you can see them, so that you can realize what it is that is being proclaimed to you, and so that you can have confidence in this gospel ministry. And then Paul closes by reminding them that even when he's not there physically, he is spiritually. And he rejoices in what the Lord is doing in them. His congregation brings him joy, even when he's not there with them. Brothers and sisters, your pastor here and your elders, they love you. They give themselves to this gospel ministry because they love you. And they rejoice in what the Lord is doing here in your midst, how the Lord is growing you and maturing you through the ministry of the word, how the proclamation of Christ is building the kingdom in this place. So I urge you, brothers and sisters, hold fast to this word presented to you. Hear Christ proclaimed to you, and continue to receive this gospel ministry. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do ask that you would continue to work in us. And now as we come to this table, let us see the ministry of Christ on display. And let it speak to us and teach us in ways that we've never seen before. Let Christ be afresh to us daily. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.